You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardner, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot. There he is. He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out the tree line. He's moving to the right. He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the big marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced that I have to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Discardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Well, we're not worse for wear, that's for sure. You got to forgive me. We're in Georgia right now. We left Florida this morning, and we're in a place, ironic again, Marco, no signal. And I'm talking no signal for AT&T, no signal for Sprint, no signal for Verizon. And I'm sitting, we're staying at a friend's place, and I'm sitting on top of this little mound that we had to put a circle around where the only place I can get some service, and I hope it's going to come across well. So if I lose you, you're going to have to continue the show on, but hopefully we'll be okay. How you doing,
okay,
buddy?
I'm doing okay.
Listen, okay. I want to give my condolences and everybody out there. I'll let them know that Marco's, one of his family, I guess it was the mother-in-law, Marco?
Yeah, it was my daughter's mother-in-law.
Yeah, she passed today, ladies and gentlemen. Unbeknownst to everybody, that it was unforeseeable, but she had passed, a young woman. And our condolences go out to her family, meaning your daughter-in-law, and, of course, you. And you're welcome. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't know how tough this has been for him today, but to continue on and to do this show under these circumstances when the rest of the family are with the others who have been grieving, giving them support and consolation. Kudos to you, my brother. You have no idea how strong you are, and continue on our program here.
No, thank you. Jack from the East Coast is on, and he'll be the first guy. Jim Dawson didn't come on yet.
Okay, that's fine. I just want to let everybody know out there how tough it's been on this trek of ours. We've traveled many, many miles in the last 7 days, as a matter of fact, and met a lot of beautiful people. I got to tell you, we've been received with open arms. The hospitality has been totally off the chain. People have been off the hook. They couldn't do enough for us. We'll be able to, hopefully, sometime tonight, Young Blood will get the story of Florida up and the dignitaries that we met, the mayor and the chief of police and the ambassador of the town and the whole nine yards. And forgive me if I sound tired, ladies and gentlemen, because this is one time that I am. I got bit up again. I didn't know, and they showed up the next day. We were in the Everglades, not the Everglades, but the swamp yesterday. And I'll be damned if they didn't show up today. So, you know, it's my good old friends. You know what they are. It starts with a C. And I've been going crazy because they're in spots that I never knew they would be. But nevertheless, it's been an enjoyable time, a wonderful time. And, my gosh, where are we starting off first? Mark, did you say Japanese stuff?
Yeah, he's on right now.
Okay. Well, let's go out to the East Coast and say hello to our fine newfound friend, Jack. How are you, Jack?
How you doing, Tom? How you doing, Marco Bill?
Well,
we're doing
great. Better days, both of us, and you know, one is going through trials and tribulations of tribulation of death in the family, and I'm going because that's the role, as you know. This man, yeah, you're right. This guy is a true trooper. We're going to tell his story. He was out there. We were out there with him. He's one of those gracious people and newfound friends. We turn up at his home, beautiful home. He's got a beautiful spread, two-story, and his lovely bride, breakfast. They put up for us, made us dinner that night on the big barn fire and the whole nine yards. But before I get into his story, I want to tell you guys something, how courageous this man really is. We had a convoy from his house, his home, to about a two-hour drive to another city in the same state. And I've got to tell you, this man, he was in the convoy. There was a vehicle that pushed him off the road. He turned over, I think twice, came out unscathed, a few bumps and bruises. But he says, continue on, and I'll catch up with you tomorrow. And by God, if he didn't. Marco Bill, is that courage or what?
Now that's courage.
You bet.
I don't know. I think maybe it's stupidity. But the car loads we want, but...
you didn't roller skate there, did you?
Well, I thought it was very courageous, Jack, and I'll tell you what, you can share a campfire with me anytime. Man that's got the big ones like you do, and like you said, while they were taking you to the hospital, continue on the mission, Tom, and I'll catch up. My God, far and few between, ladies and gentlemen, not many troopers like him. It was an honor being with you. Well, let's. How do you want to start this, Jack? What do you want people to know, and what don't you want them to know?
Well, good question. How about if I just start out and tell a little bit about what happened, and you can chime in there or correct me if I'm wrong? How's that sound?
It's your story. Tell it like it is, then.
Okay. Well, we had two nights in my area. Guys were pretty tired, and the first night was going to be like an observation night. And when you're tired, I'll be the first one to admit, it's hard to sit in a chair and listen and observe without falling asleep. So it was kind of a short night. We didn't get any action to speak of. The second night, we went to another location, and that location, unfortunately, kind of fell through as well, because the custodian, I won't mention the location, but the custodian of the location caught up with Tom in the main parking area while the rest of us were doing a recon of the area. And he said in so many words to Tom that to do an operation of this kind, and Tom, you talked to him, so you can correct me as to how it was worded, but that a special permit would be required, and the cost of $50, and plus it wouldn't be obtainable until Monday. So, you know, it basically ended that night. And then from there, then we had the exciting convoy from south. And go ahead.
You asked me to interject, and here's what I want to interject on this point in time. He's exactly right. The guy that was the manager of the wildlife area virtually kicked us off, because unless we had a land use permit to go out and photograph, we were trespassing as far as he was concerned, which David didn't know. And Jack, David is another guy out there with us. He was with me, and then Jack was out with TJ and the rest of the guys, and doing a surveillance. I mean, a recon. So what happened was, I had to call them back in, and we couldn't get that until Monday. And since this was Saturday, wasn't that Saturday?
I'm losing track now. I'd have to go back and look at the calendar.
Saturday. And at the same time, it was the 8th. And at the same time, ladies and gentlemen, you got to understand, there were a ton. Bow season had opened up a week before for whitetail. Well, my gosh, there had to have been 7 hunters out there. And this was, you know, before 4 o'clock in the afternoon. It was incredible, because they started to pick up. You can't hunt out there with bows past when it gets dark. You can go for about a half hour after, and then you got to come back in. But they were all out there also. And I can understand the concern, and that's fine and well. We decided, since we got kicked out, instead of wasting that night, we decided to hook up with our other guy in another town in that same state. And that's, tell them what happened.
Well, we had a convoy from that last location, and we had about a two-hour drive south, give or take. And we were good ways down the highway, three-lane highway. We had a four-car caravan. I was on the tail end of it with my white pickup truck and minding my own business. And then all of a sudden, I heard this loud peeling of tires to my side, which caused me to look in my left side mirror. And then I saw smoke, and I saw this navy blue car coming right towards my left rear panel. You know, one of those pit maneuver type of things. And once he hit my panel, my truck went spinning off the highway along with him, and we both he flipped once and landed on the grass on the side. I flipped once over a guardrail, and then it spun around, and the rear end went into some oak trees. But neither one of us could get out of our vehicles. The doors were damaged enough to where we couldn't open them from the inside, so we had to climb out windows. But the strange thing is that the young kid that was in the blue car, you know, to me, he sounded very believable, and he said that he felt as though there was another car that hit him or pushed him into my vehicle. But there were two witnesses on the scene. They said they didn't see a third car. So anyway, it is what it is.
You bet. And thank God we're on this side of the ground telling the story. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to understand something. I was going to be the passenger in that car to keep him company. If it wasn't for the BBC that said, Tom, I need you in the main vehicle because we're filming you, I don't think I would be here talking about it today. Is that correct, Jack?
That's what I understand, and I think what Tom's getting at is the left side of the windshield was pushed in, was cracked, and I don't know if the person that was sitting in would have been sitting in the passenger seat. I don't know how they would have fared.
By the way, did the vehicle get totaled?
Yes, it did get totaled. We're working with insurance now to try to get some money out of it, but yeah, it was both vehicles were totaled. Mm-hmm.
Wow. You know, again, my apologies, my sympathies. I don't control other people's driving, but, you know, you were with us, and you were part of our
one of the things that happened, you know.
You bet. Well, why don't we, since we are going to go into the next segment, let's get the other person in that same state. I believe he's on the line. Is Anthony with us, Marco?
Yes, he is. Hold on. I'll unmute Anthony.
Okay.
Hey, go ahead, Anthony.
Hello, Tom, Marco, Bill, and Jack.
Hey, good buddy. How are you?
And my condolences out to you there, Marco, Bill. Hopefully you do as well.
Thank you. Thank you.
How are you standing up? You're still the best for wear?
I didn't understand your question, Tom. Can you say it again?
Yeah, how are you holding up? Because I know you've had a pretty hectic schedule, buddy, like the rest of us.
Well, you know, I'm losing sleep like you are, just differently. But doing well, thank the Lord.
Okay. Well, you know, I'm going to start it off. I'm going to have the stage, and I want you to tell everybody everything. Ladies and gentlemen, we got a call from Anthony in the same state in which Jack lives. And he's not going to miss the city or the state because it's still a hot area. It's a hot spot, ladies and gentlemen. We got out to the area that he had seen two small ones, two juveniles. He was on his daily chore of doing his work on private property. Well, we got in there. We met that night. Do you remember what time it was?
Oh, we met. It was, I know it was already dark when we met. We met at the motel there.
10:15 when we got to the site. It was 10:15, Anthony, at night.
That's
when
right.
Okay?
That's right. We went out to eat, and then we went out to the site.
Why don't you tell everybody what we did when we went out to the site? I want it to come from your mouth.
Okay. Basically, well, it's like this. You know, we went out to the site, and I know that, you know, you were interviewing me because you just needed to confirm that all the things that I saw was what I saw, and that, you know, you just wanted to make sure that I wasn't coming out from left field. And as I was answering your questions, you know, I brought you to the spot, and there were some things that I had learned from you that evening concerning the atmosphere, okay? And you discerned that this is a particular atmosphere that you are familiar with, that these creatures are, you know, inhabit that area. So as we, you know, you got with your guys over there, you know, and decided, hey, let's put out some bait, let's set up some cameras, and let's see what we get. And, you know, I'm explaining it very simply, but you know, for the listeners here, you know, it's a very involved process. By the way, Tom, you got a great team with you, you know. You know, guys that are really dedicated, you know, in this area. So Tom has a great team of guys working with him, and they was working to setting up the bait. You know, the next day they set up a tree stand. Youngblood set up a tree stand.
Wait, time, Anthony. Yeah. See, you're going very quickly, and I understand it, okay? But for those of the people who don't know the process of putting out bait and cleaning the area and setting it up, do you remember it all? Can you tell about it?
Yeah, I remember it. You know, what you did was, you know, there was a lot of pine needles and stuff on the ground. You really couldn't see the dirt, you know. You had your grandson out there. He cleared up the area there, and, you know, we kind of he made it so that there was, like, fresh dirt on the ground so that if anything had walked in the area, it's going to make a clear impression on it. You had your son, TJ, and Youngblood out there, and Chico helping set up the game cameras. You had Rex setting up the two video cameras there, you know, the IR cameras, you know, and that was pretty involved, you know. So because, you know, we wanted to have, like, you know, they didn't want to just have just trip cameras. They wanted to have, you know, nonstop live recording as well, you know. And that takes a lot of battery power. So,
Now, let me interject one thing. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to understand. He pretty much got it right so far, and I don't know if he was going to go to the next part. But the next part would be is I would have them sprinkle water over that same area to make it wet. Any impressions that would come, it would be better for us to see anything that walked through the area. Remember that?
Yeah, that's right. Took a water bottle, and I remember spraying it at the end there.
That's right. And I also had TJ take the deer urine and spray all over it, to, which I don't know if you saw that or not. To kill our human scent. And then
right.
They came back and let the area, like, ferment or marinate overnight with everything in place. And what happened next day?
Well, the next day was pretty amazing, okay? Tom got a birthday present because there were not one but two sets of prints that they picked up in that area, pretty much confirming what the sighting that I had seen of two juvenile Bigfoot in that area.
Pretty incredible stuff, wasn't it?
It was. It was. It was, you know, it's great to to see the physical evidence of what I had seen.
Now, Anthony, let my listeners around the globe hear about how we took a negative into the positive when we were on private land, when that woman came down the road and talked to my boys. Then she was kind of negative and pissy, but after I came to the rescue and talked to her, what happened?
Well, I wasn't there during the conversation, and I know that others had relayed the information to me, but it turned out that you know, she, after a while talking with you, she, hey, at the end of the conversation, she was inviting you over for dinner, you know? I mean, hey, perfect outcome.
I'm talking about her giving us permission to stay on the land.
Oh, not only did she give us the permission, but then we met the husband, and the husband says, hey, go to this store and talk to him and tell you all you want about this area, and then he turns out to... You know, he gives you even more access, you know? So that's even better.
Plus the deer stand.
Plus the deer stand, that's right. He provided the deer stand. You know, George there provided the deer stand, you know, so that was another big blessing. For your birthday.
Yeah. You know, I've got to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. It never ceases to amaze me to see how wonderful the people really are, how they come out in droves. When we come through a town... You know, we got the trailer that's wrapped. We've got the magnetic signs, and oh my gosh! No matter what town, what gas station, what motel, what restaurant we went to, there was always somebody there to tell us a story, including the POPO, the police departments, that would stop us and virtually tell us about the stories coming across the country. It was totally amazing, ladies and gentlemen, how wonderful these people really are out there. And you know what? All they're looking for is to talk to somebody and tell their story to also. When you get a print and you know something is in the area, that's just the icing on the cake, what happened here with this gentleman. I got to tell you something, Anthony. It was a treat, an honor, and I enjoyed it to no end. And I know that we just got another fine gentleman as a member of our family, including Jack, for many, many years to come. And you know what? You keep monitoring that area. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, we gave Anthony that print. It was his area. It was a gift from us to him. He saw it. The owners of the land, the husband saw it. The people adjacent to it that own the land, they're just having a great time knowing that we were out there along. And by the way, the guy that was injured, Jack, showed up. And Jack, you were there until how long?
Well, you guys were out there that second night till 2:30, and then I stayed till sunrise out there. And
exactly.
What I claim is that I was doing some calls and heard return calls back, and also believe I heard one in the woods not too far away that threw two rocks at me during that time spell.
Well, you know, Rex verified that same story when he came back and had told me the same story, and he said, you guys heard very heavy footfalls in the leaf litter.
Well
Tom, if you don't mind me interrupting real quick, I was there today, okay? And when I went back there today, I too had heard something in the distance, but what I also heard was tree knocking, probably about maybe 100 yards away. You know, it was kind of loud, and it looked like they were trying to get my attention because I didn't knock first.
Wow.
And I was looking desperately around to try to find something, but, you know, all those branches in the area, you know, they're all just, you know, soft and breaking apart. And so I everything I tried to knock with, you know, just broke apart.
Amazing. Just totally amazing. Fellas, I got to tell you something. It was a true honor meeting both of you guys. A true pleasure working in the field with both of you guys. And here's the thing, Anthony and Jack. Is it Tom Biscardi, when he's in the field, he has no idea what he's doing, or is he the ultimate true Bigfoot hunter?
Go ahead, answer first, Jack.
I really enjoyed the visit, and I enjoyed meeting all you guys out there, and I enjoyed learning what types of tactics that you use out in the field, and you definitely produce some results with the bait there in Anthony's location.
Well, I got to say, Tom, you definitely know what you're doing out there. That is for sure. Okay, you know, I know in the chat rooms, you know, these naysayers and stuff like that. You know, they need to be with you and then get like that guy that you have at every introduction where they will change their opinion. Not that they might, they will change their opinion, you know, because, you know, my opinion, you're the real deal. I mean, you there's a lot involved, and just like Jack said, I too learned from you and from your crew out there. I mean, I learned a whole lot, you know, and
I appreciate that, Anthony. I really do. And by the way, Jack, in the 4 years that you made your study, how many people really came out and seen what you had?
Well, you know, I've mentioned this to you in the past. I've tried to get other teams to come out, and you're the first one that took the challenge.
And you know what? There'll be many more down the line. You know, guys, I love you both. You're part of our family. I wish you nothing but the best. I don't know if I told both of you. Yeah, well, Jack knows. Anthony doesn't know. We have a live situation going on presently. Three creatures, over 100 prints in the ground. ever since I told you about that, Jack, I've been on the phone constantly. My voice is cracking and it's dry, and I'm hoping that our drive to get to where we need to go, it's 22 hours, by the way, but this is something that it comes along one time, and I'm hoping, I sent out a prelim team, and they should be there East Coast time, about another 2.5 hours. So I should be getting a report around 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning to see exactly what we got. And if I do, if it's half is what I think it's going to be, we're going to be turning the wheels in about 3 hours.
Awesome.
Yeah. Well, listen, I'll keep you guys apprised of what's going on. God bless. We got a lot more guests on the line, and you'll hear some more stories. Just put yourself out, fellas.
Oh, okay.
Good night, Tom. Good night, Marco Bill.
Bless you. Marco, let's go to commercial.
Here we go.
Hold on.
In August 2008, there was an announcement that was heard around the globe. A promise of the end to an age-long mystery and deception that played out on the world stage. Anatomy of a Bigfoot hoax. Now, for the first time ever, see with your own eyes and hear the true behind-the-scenes story of the hoax that gripped the world. Featuring original, never-before-seen footage. Available now at searchingforbigfoot.com.
I wanted to hurt the people, but you know what bothers me more than anything, Megan? These guys were the law.
And Tom, it's back to you.
Who do we have online?
We got Scott.
Okay, so Jim never made it?
Jim didn't make it. Something went wrong. I'll find out later.
Okay, fantastic. Let's get my good book.
Scott, you're on.
I'm here. I'm getting a real good echo, but I'm here.
Oh, we'll get rid of that echo. Here you
hey,
go.
Hey, buddy, how you feeling?
It's going great.
Well, as you know, we just stopped ourselves. I haven't told you, I don't know if I did or not, in between the conversations that we've had. I got a call from an area about 22 hours from here. That guy was frantic as hell. Had just seen three creatures, took their pictures. Just took pictures of about 100 footprints, sent them over to me. Well, I had them analyzed, got up and I sent the prelim team in that area, and they'll be getting there in about 2.5 hours before we get the wheels back on the road and go out. But what I want you to tell everybody, Scott, about Tate's Hell Swamp down there in Carabel, Florida, where we went. Pretty impressive area, I think.
You're breaking up pretty bad, but I gather you're trying to get me to do some background on Carabel.
Well, let everybody know, what was going on down there, and give them a little story about. Let me give the story about Tate. There was a gentleman, ladies and gentlemen, back in 1875, that was hunting out in the swamp, and what happened? He lost one of his dogs and went into the swamp deep to try to find his dog. He got lost. He zigged when he should have zagged. Next thing you know, he's gone for 7 days. He finally makes it out. They said his hair was black when he went in. His hair came out gray when he came out, almost white. He was so bit up with insects and snake bites that he died at the foot of the man that he told the story to that saw him when he came out of the swamp. And that's how they named this swamp, Tate's Hell Swamp. And he says that swamp was hell. So they named it Tate's
hell swamp. It's a forest out in that area. But tell us why we went down there to meet you and Cal and John Johnson.
Well, I've been working the area now since Hurricane Ivan in 2004, when I got a report from a gentleman up in Georgia who was driving down to St. George's Island, down Route 65, which is County Road 65 there, and he had a one of these creatures, the swamp ape, walk right in front of his vehicle as he was driving down the road early in the morning. And I've been getting reports periodically, including reports from forestry officials there, one of whom got fired after talking to me. So I've been checking it out quite regularly. And, of course, we've also been working on the story of the Caravel Cat there, which Cal Allen, the city councilman, turned me on to. So there's quite a bit of cryptid activity up here. And so when you called and we wanted to get together, I thought that'd be the perfect place. Give me an opportunity to introduce you to Cal and some of the city officials, the unofficial mayor of the city, and I think you met the actual mayor of the city sitting in his table at the restaurant there one morning. Got evicted from his table. But that really cute town, a place I'd like to live. It's quiet. It's like Florida used to be. And the cool thing about Caravel is, you know, people think Florida, they think Miami. This place is so far out. I mean, from Caravel, you could go in any direction 40 miles, and there's nothing. It's virtually undeveloped. There's no housing complexes, no big developments, no high-rises, nothing, even on the beach. So it's really a very remote area, and Tate's Hell Swamp is, as you described, unchanged because it's part of the Apalachicola National Forest up here, and it is about as remote and foreboding a place as you're going to find in this state.
And I can attest to that, ladies and gentlemen. I got to tell you this. We met so many wonderful people out there. Thanks to Scott. I think this will be an apropos time to bring Cal on. Cal, are you out there?
I have to unmute him, Tom.
Why don't you do that? Let's have him come in right now.
Okay, I'm
Cal,
here.
Cal, you're on.
Yes, I'm here.
Hey, Cal, good evening, buddy.
Good evening. How are you doing? Have a good trip?
Yeah, we just stopped for the night because we got a lot of action around the country. I don't know if you've been listening to what I've been saying. But,
yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is our newfound friend, Cal. He's not only a city councilman, I call him the ambassador of Caravel. This man, no matter what you needed, what you wanted, or where to go, you call upon him, and he'll arrange it for you, lickety-split. My gosh, you know, he had the newspaper people there. We went down and meet the mayor. Six terms, ladies and gentlemen. He just finished his fifth term, got reelected. The guy's 88 years old. He practically owns the town, okay? We met the chief of police. You're going to be seeing pictures of all this, ladies and gentlemen. We just have not had service where we've been and where we are now. I can't see where I'm at. I'm in a circle on top of a mountain from the place that we're staying. None of our phones work where we're at. As a matter of fact, poor Scott, no matter where we were in Caravel, his phone didn't work at all. It was a trip, remember?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Well, in any event, this guy Cal, my gosh, he's the one that had talked about the Panther, the Black Panther, and he knew the people and knew all the trails and everything that was going on, assembled the people, Sonny and Sean, these people who actually saw the swamp ape and who we talked to, be it in person or via the phone. It was incredible. Cal, tell everybody what your actual function is down there in Caravel.
Well, we're retired. And I got involved in the city politics a few years back when we started looking at some of the big developments that were wanting to come in. And we wanted to preserve the pristine quality of Caribel. So I got very active on the comprehensive plan development, and we developed a plan for future use and to try to preserve the our real asset was ecotourism. We didn't want to compete with the mouse down in Disney World and the high rises and the big, you know, the big city things. We felt like our rivers, our Blackwater rivers and our swamps and our beaches. We have a beach right next to us is listed as one of the 10 top, actually number 6 in the top 10 beaches in the world. And it's over on St. George Island. And so we just felt like we wanted to preserve the pristine quality. And as you said a while ago, you can go 40 miles in either direction. Scott said this, in either direction, and you're going to be in nothing but woods. And there are very few major highways going through this. So it's a very perfect place for any kind of creature to grow and develop. We have bears that come into our yard, into our garbage once in a while. We have all kinds of snakes, and we've got coyotes. We believe we have jacarandas. I've seen those a couple of times. And it's just a beautiful place. I've always wished I was a woodsman, and I'm now taking my retirement to enjoy the woods and the forest. That's my way of relaxing, is just getting out and riding the roads. We love it.
Well, yeah, and you know what, ladies, what's the population, by the way, of Caribel?
It's around 1,150. The entire Franklin County, I think, is around 15,000.
And how big is the county?
I couldn't tell you the exact size of it. It's a fairly average size county for Florida. But we just have two cities actually chartered, and then the rest of them are just little associations. And we have the one major highway, 98, that goes through the county from east to west. And that's about it. We only have one traffic light in the entire county. You're talking about phone service. We don't get Grand Ole Opry till Tuesday night.
You know, Cal, tell everybody how big your jail is.
About what now? Oh, the what now? The jail? Oh, yeah. It's one of the main photo ops in Caribel. It's a phone booth.
Ladies and gentlemen, did you hear that?
It's just a phone booth sitting under a chinaberry tree.
That's right.
And, now that's the old city hall, the old police station. We have since now modernized when we took opportunity to go into another building, an old high school complex. But that still sits out on the main highway, and it's the Caribel phone booth. And actually, they used to sit there and listen for phone calls. And that got to be a problem when some of the local people wanted to come in and use the phone. Thought it was a public phone booth. So, you know, it got to be some real interesting stories out of that.
You know, Cal, I want to tell my listeners out there that all this stuff that he's talking about, I've talked about, Scott's talked about, and all my other guests have talked about, that if it's not on the website, it'll all be transferred sometime tonight. And then, of course, Marco's got his own problems, so give him a little leeway. But you're going to see some interesting stuff. I might also add that right now in the town of Caribel, out in the swamp area, they're having an infestation of pygmy rattlers, water moccasins, and what else is going on out there?
Well, of course, we have the eastern diamondback here as well. And,
yeah.
And, of course, the main problem that we're concerned with right now is the influx of the Florida black bear. This county and Tate's Hell has probably got the largest population of the Florida black bear in the state. And I serve on a bear council where we're looking at the entire state and trying to deal with the bear issues, both for establishing habitat and population, and we have more than any other area in the state. And so, but it creates a problem because a lot of people have encounters with them. They come in their yard and try to get into their food bins, their dog food. We had a bear kill a goat recently because it got into the goat pen and trying to get the food. Things like that happen right here in town, and so we're much concerned about that. In fact, this coming Saturday we're having a bear festival as a way of educating people about how to live with the bears rather than killing them.
You know, I got to tell you something, Cal. Yeah. You know, when I met with the mayor this morning, he was telling me about the gondola in the back of the administrative building there that you call the high school. They have their pet bear that comes in there every night.
Right.
And he just, you know, he told us some stories because he said he's been there since 1942 and when he got out of the service. And I'll tell you what. Ladies and gentlemen, you ever get through Carrabelle, stop off and go see the mayor of the town.
He is a legend. I guarantee.
Oh, boy. Yep. He's going into his sixth term, ladies and gentlemen. He just finished 20 years, going into 24 years, and he says that if his health holds up, he's going to do another four if they hire him or vote for him. So the number one thing, ladies and gentlemen, right now he's 88, right?
Right, and his statement that he's always making is that if he's going to die in that office, one way or the other.
Ladies and gentlemen, I got to tell you something else. Let me tell you where the mayor parks. He goes up over the sidewalk, over the grass, through the administration building, right up through the main doors, and parks his car there. And I asked him, I says, "How do you do that?" He says, "Well, I'm the mayor. I can do anything I want." I says, "You bet."
And that's right, too. He pretty well rules with an iron hand in a lot of cases. Of course, we have our little differences on the city board from time to time, and I give him a hard time, though. But we do it very jokingly, and we get along real well. Anytime I can get a good punch, a job, not a physical, but a word punch is what I'm saying. And he appreciates that. He likes to be kidded a lot. So I give him enough of that to make him happy.
Yeah, I want to tell you something. When we were coming out, we went back a different way when we followed the other two guys. And this is the first time ever in my life, ladies and gentlemen, that there was a sign, beware prisoners at work. They had a chain gang working, and ladies and gentlemen, they had them in the striped uniforms on the side of the freeway. I could not believe what I saw today, Cal.
That's right.
So that stuff is still going on?
Oh, yes. Uh-huh. Now, this is not necessarily all over the state. There are certain counties that I think will enforce that ordinance a little bit more so than others. Now, we have a state prison just north of Carrabelle, and they have a work-release program where they bring a crew out, and they have actually done a lot of work for the city of Carrabelle in cleaning streets, putting up Christmas decorations, and over $25,000 of labor that comes to the city through their work. And of course, those prisoners are trustees. They love to get out of jail and spend the time out of doors, so they've been very helpful to us, and we don't have any problem in Franklin County.
Well, let me ask you this, Cal. Whose
yes.
idea was it to put them back in the stripes like they did years ago?
I couldn't tell you that. I just don't know that.
We took pictures. It blew me away. I said to myself, my God, I can't believe it. Here it is, 2011, and they're still out in that garb. I was shocked. I was utterly shocked.
Well, it is unusual, and I know they have that over in a neighboring county, Wakulla County, just east of us. I've seen the prisoners there in the stripes.
Well, listen, I'm getting into somebody else's time, but Scott and Cal, God bless both of you guys. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts. The hospitality was just incredible.
Thank you for your hospitality there, Tom. It was great being with you and having you take care of us so nicely. So
you one hand washes the other, and you know I've said it many times. And Cal,
and I enjoyed meeting your team too. They're some cool fellas.
Well, thank you so much, and they enjoyed both of you.
And I'll tell you this, they can't wait to come back. I mean, Youngblood says, my gosh, I'd like to retire down here. And, Chico was kind of saying about the same thing. So, and then I gotten up to the mayor and maybe get his endorsement. Maybe I'll run for mayor when he goes next time.
We've got two or three people lined up for that. I'm sorry about that.
Well, look, guys, we got a whole lot more show. Thanks again. We'll talk soon. Just mute yourself out, and we'll get on with the show, okay?
Very good.
Take care, Tom.
Enjoy.
Have a good trip.
Thanks, Sarah, and take care of yourself, Scott.
And good night, Scott.
Bye-bye, Cal. Ladies and gentlemen, I got to tell you, what a time. What great, great people. We'll have it up sometime, or it'll be sent over to Marco sometime in the middle of the night. And then Marco, give him a little slack. He's got some problems. He'll put it all up. Marco, let's go to commercial.
Okay, Tom. And, Tom, we got that was our last guests, but we got TJ and we got Bruce Schultz on.
Oh, good.
I want all the viewers in the world today to know that this creature is out there. I have no doubt in my mind that there is a primate, a hominoid, a biped, something that walks on two all over this country. There's an unknown species out there, and we're going to find it. We've done vocalizations. We've received something in return, answering to it. We're going to be sharing our finds with the world, because what we've got now, no one else has. And the legend carries on by the work that we've done all these years. Say it's night, say it's night.
Bigfoot is on the move right now.
Searching for Bigfoot.com.
And Thomas, back to you.
Thanks, good buddy. TJ, you on, TJ?
I'm here.
You know, I miss you, you son of a gun. I wish you were there that next morning on my birthday to see what we saw, what we got. It was just incredible. Just utterly incredible, son.
You know, after you called me and I was already on my way back, and I was just, you know, sick to my stomach that I couldn't stay, but, you know, we got to do what we got to do. The almighty dollar got to face it.
You are, without a doubt, without a doubt. I got to tell you, DJ, as we left Florida, we weren't an hour and a half into the road, and I get this call from 22 hours from where we're at right now.
Yes.
Guy took pictures of three of them, took over 100 pictures of footprints, sent them out to me. Finally got it. You know, we hit intermittent rain and storms and craziness, and then dead areas, and satellite phone didn't work, regular phone didn't work, the other phones didn't work. And we finally got that all done. And finally, we go to find out we got a legit find. And I've got a recon team going out there, which should be there in the next hour, hour and a half. And of course, we'll find out 2 hours, 2.5 hours, if we're going to put the wheels on the road. But I got to tell you something. Seeing little Tommy, seeing you, Rex, Youngblood, Anthony, Jack, everybody. It was like old home week, okay?
Absolutely, absolutely.
I got to tell you something. The team from the BBC, oh my God. They had such a time. They went crazy. They just really enjoyed being here in the States. And my gosh, ladies and gentlemen, we had cameras in our face, 24/6. We had 24 hours a day for the 6 days they were with us, and they never rolled the way they rolled with us.
and they didn't think that there was actually a Bigfoot researcher slash hunter that really trekked as many miles as they trekked with us and went through many cities and states as they did with us and heard so many different stories. What did
they get going out with the guys that get out in the national parks and just hang out, you know?
You bet. You bet. Yeah, it was a joy, you know? I mean, and I'll tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, when we were out there with Jack, there was only three people left that could hang, and those three people was my son, TJ, myself, I gave my word to that gentleman, and Youngblood, along with Jack. And Jack, believe it or not, ladies and gentlemen, this guy's got stamina.
He's a
I don't know what time he went to bed. This guy, he's a hell of a trooper. I mean, I told you what he did when he rolled his vehicle. He says, continue on the mission, and I'll step up. And boy, did he. That's the kind of guy I want with me. Wouldn't you, Tom?
I didn't get to catch the early part of the show, but Jack's all right.
He's fine. He made it there the next day, and he stayed up through 6 o'clock in the morning.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, over there with Anthony. It was incredible, you know, because they all came back, I guess it was about 4:30 in the morning, and he stayed till 6, and people wouldn't believe it, you know. They've got to come out and experience it, as you know.
They don't know how you roll.
Yeah. Well, listen, just the kids, say hello to everybody, and I love you, and until the next time, son.
You got it. Love you, too.
Okay.
Tommy said it was the best weekend he's had in 5 years.
Really? Well, you tell him I enjoyed him to death, and tell him I got the musical card right there on my visor whenever I travel, and if I get down and out, I just press those buttons, and I think of him.
Mr. Rogers, you got it.
It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Thanks for showing up.
All right. Love
bye
you.
Bye-bye.
Be well.
Yeah. Bruce Schilt, I don't have any time, but I love you. I love your family. I can't talk because my phones don't work. I'll have you on next week and tell me everything, what's been going on up there, brother. I miss you. Kudos and salutations. Till next time, America.
Till next time.
Robin was an old bear trucker. Tom was a man of dreams.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is Marco Bill, and that's the Bigfoot Live radio show for this week. All of us on the Bigfoot Live network would like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests for joining us tonight for an exciting evening of talk show entertainment, where you, the listeners, become a part of our on-air adventure. And we'd also like to thank you, our listeners, for sharing our adventure with us. Join us again next Wednesday evening for another exciting hour of Bigfoot Live radio show with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. Until then, this is Marco Bill saying good night, and be good, be safe, and be here next week. See you then.